Jesus, we love you, and Jesus, we love that you have brought us into yourself and made us a part of your church here on the earth, Lord. And it is a wonderful, magnificent thing to be a part of, the biggest thing, Lord, in the whole world and universe. And we are here this morning, just however many of us there are, and the other churches in Chester and the UK, and all of us are part of your body, your church, here on the earth. And Lord, though we don't have music this morning, nevertheless, Lord, we worship you just the same. We're here to pour out our hearts before you, Lord, to submit to you afresh, Jesus, to know your love. Lord, we pray this morning, pour out, fill our hearts, fill our vision with you. Lord, may we hear your voice this morning, know your touch amongst us. We love to be your people, Lord, and our hearts are directed to you, submitted to you, looking at you, looking on, Lord, in wonder this morning at all you have done for us. And so we worship you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let me give a bit of a preamble, then I'm going to invite some people up and we're going to get a grip with what we're doing this morning. So essentially, this is born out of Kevin's little thoughts that he has introduced to us from the book of Acts. So if you'll remember, Kevin, trying to use the verses in Acts, has trying to put it in boots on the ground for us in a city church, has sort of given this picture of really the gospel and the message spreading from Chester and the northwest as a starting point for us, and then North Wales and the UK beyond that, and then beyond that to the ends of the earth. And so I sort of, it got me thinking this morning, what could we do that would sort of essentially fulfill a bit of that as we pray into these things, as we pray for the gospel to reach people here in Chester, in whatever it is that we're doing here, and beyond that, in the northwest, in North Wales, in the UK, and beyond. So what we're going to do is I'm going to speak to us just briefly, and then once I've finished speaking, now this is logistical, so tune into this bit and switch off for the rest if needs be, but you must listen to the practicalities. So after I finish speaking, we will all get up, and there's going to be some stations. So those stations are myself and Matt. We're going to probably go over here. We'll pull a table over, and we will be available this morning for essentially anyone who would like to be prayed for. You might want prayer for healing. It could be prayer really for anything, but if you're feeling like, I would really like prayer, or I would like to be prayed for healing from this, or this, we will be over there available to anyone. And it's worth saying with that as well, if you're a woman and you would specifically like to pray with a woman, then Liv is going to be available to pray in that capacity. So if that's the case for you, come and tell us or whatever, and we can come and give Liv a tap on the shoulder wherever she is in the room. The other station then, really representing, so if you think of it as all these circles going out in this picture that we see in Acts, that's really the sort of the smaller circle individually. How can we, you know, pray for you guys, pray for all of us here. And then out from that, Jan over there, Jan is going to have a stall. Maybe Jan, if you go that way. So when we're finished in a minute, everyone will sort of stand up. We'll pull some tables around and reorganize. So if you take a table over there and some chairs. And for Jan, Jan's representing Chester really in this. Jan obviously runs the homeless drop-in here on a Saturday morning, which is a fantastic ministry. All of these guys, by the way, are going to get to come up and have 2 minutes to just say a little something about their station, so I won't say too much about that. So that'll be Jan, and if you'd like to go and pray with Jan for everything that she's doing with the homeless, and again, into Chester in general, then head to Jan and pray over there. After that, we have Charlotte is going to, if you go that way towards the doors, really going to be representing City Church community, families, individuals, things that we do, MLG conference, all that we're a part of. Again, the things that we, clubs that we're a part of, anything where we have a chance to meet people and reach people with the gospel, it's going to basically be representing us as a community. And so if you'd like to be praying into that, then you go and join Charlotte over in the corner. And then finally, thinking about beyond the UK and to the ends of the earth, Brian and B. Lynn and Jeff are going to be, maybe you guys go over here, and these guys are going to be sharing some thoughts. we've got all sorts of international links represented within those guys. It's a shame as well. I touched base with Kevin and Chris, who would have been brilliant to be a part of that conversation, but they're not here this morning. But really, just covering that UK and the outside of the UK, the ends of the earth, but not just in a sort of nebulous manner, just praying for whatever, because we have links. Obviously, Jeff goes to India. These guys, they will tell you themselves, have done so much over the years from a missionary point of view. And so if you would like to be a part of that and praying into that, then that will be your group. But like I say, those guys will all have 90 seconds, 2 minutes or so to just come and give a little something about what they're doing. Does that all make sense? So when I finish, we'll sort of remove the tables around. Go and get a tea and coffee if you'd like one. They'll be out. Just help yourself. And then once you've got your drink, make your way to the area that you would like to go and get involved in. And we can sit down and we'll spend however long we've got in prayer about those things. Sound good? Excellent. Right, now that's that out of the way, let's open the Word. I'm using my phone. My real Bible is here as backup, but my eyes are failing me and my dog ate my second pair of reading glasses. And so, here I am. So if you can turn to Acts 2, I'm going to read from verses 42 downwards. And we've been in these verses in varying ways, I feel like, quite a lot over the last few years. But I'm going to read them to us again. And then I'm going to read to us from Ephesians, because I was so impressed and so moved by it when we read through it this week in home group. And I'll take it from there. So let's read this. Chapter 2, verse 42 onwards. Hello. I'm all right, Jimmy. This is fine. Yeah, I'm all good. Okay. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. And I love this portion of scripture. For me, it just represents so much of obviously what the church should look like. Here you have all the raw ingredients, the Holy Spirit freshly poured out on the earth for the first time, the Lord saving people all over the place, and then a community, a body of people immediately coming together and giving us this picture of church. And really what I'm wanting to pick up on this morning as we get into what we're about to do, and even the nature of what we're doing this morning, the fact that we're shifting things around, rather than just trying to, you know, if we're low on musical numbers or not, or even if we've got the full band here, it's good to do this. And this is a part of really what we're saying. And it's really come through Matt, obviously, because it's wordy. And so Matt's come up with this thing. You might have mentioned him. He's been mentioning it. And this thought of essentially reimagining things. Has anyone picked up on that? And I'm taking it further back to, I don't know when we had our church family meeting, but through next door there last year. And I essentially was feeling like we need to sort of reset, was the word I used, in terms of our approach to coming to church, to what church even looks like. And I was feeling like that in myself as well. Let's not just do motions and get stuck in a rut, but let's sort of reset and think, what are we doing? What's all this about? And I think we've done that, and I'm very much encouraged. I think the Lord is speaking continually to us in this way. And then Matt's come up with this thought, this idea of essentially reimagining, seeing the Lord in a fresh way, seeing the church in a fresh way, and reimagining things so that literally this morning we don't feel compelled that we have to, by any means, provide some sort of musical show. And this is a part of that. It's like, no, we don't need to do that. Church doesn't have to do that, and we can change, and we can do this, and we can do that. But it's this thought of reimagining. In America, hundreds of years ago, there was the Great Awakening, wasn't there, which you can read about. It sort of spanned, actually, a long, long time. And for me, I'm really, we need a great reimagining of what church is all about, and how we do it, and how we go about it, and how really thinking right down to us for City Church, what are we doing? How do we go about it? And you know, you turn to these verses, obviously, you look at them. And there's so much for us. You start in verse 42, and they, you're going to have to be with me this morning, and they, who's they? Us. And who was it there? Who was it? Who were the they? Was it just the apostles? No. Who was it? Matthew, come on. Everyone. Everyone. Men, women, children, if you were part of this moment, that they is every believer who's just come to literally the simple faith of, I believe in this message of Jesus. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he rose again. Where do I go? Point me in the right direction. What do I do? That was where they were. I believe, I repent, whatever it takes. That's the they, all of them. And they devoted themselves. Isn't it great? What a picture. Everyone, every man, woman, and child devoted themselves. The word devoted is a great word, and you can see people devote themselves to things. Previous times in my life, I devoted myself to certain bits of sport. And if any was looking for me, where's Johnny? He'll be there, because he's devoted to that thing. He's devoted to it. And you hear about, you know, husbands or wives devoted to one another. It's this idea of separating yourself with a complete focus and intent of, this is what I'm doing. And they devoted themselves to, essentially, if I can paraphrase, the word of God and God speaking to them, and to being in fellowship with one another, church, in community. That was their single focus. They came to faith, and everyone devoted themselves to the word of God, to hearing the apostles, and what was God speaking prophetically to them, and being together, and to breaking bread in their homes, wherever they were. They broke bread together, and they remembered the death and resurrection of Jesus. And also they were devoted to prayer. We've talked about this again a lot, haven't we? But they devoted themselves to prayer. If anyone was going to be praying, and again, not just the apostles, then they were highly intimidating, I think, in their profoundness and all that they were doing. People were scared to go and join them at various points for various reasons. But everyone was devoted to prayer. Wherever they were, they prayed, and they were together. And it carries on, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. What I was thinking about this, you know, you see those cheesy things on Etsy, the "in this house we do" signs, and you get it on tea towels and all the rest of it. We need one of them on, like, one of these or something. In this church we do. And one of them is, in this church, again, we do and we believe in this still happening today, which is why we're doing what we're doing this morning. We believe that God answers prayer. We believe that the Holy Spirit can still move as powerfully as he did here when many signs and wonders were being performed. It's good to just say these things out loud, isn't it? We believe that. In this church, we believe that. And so this morning, if you'd like to be prayed for, we will pray. And for all these other things, we believe God moves in answer to the prayers of his people. And so this morning we do that, not because it's a nice thing to do, but because I really believe God moves in answer to prayer, and that's what we're going to do for all these things this morning. And so we devote ourselves to being together and to praying. And all who believed were together. You can flick through these things, can't you? But I love how vast it is, and it's a part of our reimagining of what church looks like and how we view church, how we view ourselves. And all, everyone who believed, they were together physically, but in spirit. And there was this sense of unity here and mission of, we have met Jesus. We have all just been filled with the Holy Spirit, and we are together. Where can we go? Who can we send? What can we do? I want to hear the word of God. I want to spread the word of God. All the people together. And in this case, they had all things in common. This is amazing, isn't it? They literally were at the point in their devotion of, well, I've got a house in Vicar's Cross. I'll put it on the market. I'll sell it. I'll sell everything I've got, and I'll put it into the kitty, and whoever needs can have it. You know, it's breathtaking, isn't it? I've thought about this in my younger, more intense days, and I used to think, well, maybe this is what we should do. I don't think it works now with mortgages and all these things. Maybe it does, maybe I'm wrong, but I just think in heart, though, we've got to be touching something like this. And I think, again, I'm talking about, I was moaning at Connect Group on Thursday about how disillusioned I am, really, and just fed up with what church represents in so much of the world, and the West in particular. I just think we're so far from all of this, and it's why I think the Lord's telling us we need to reimagine something. And they had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and giving the proceeds to all who had any need, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. Again, so much of, I think, what we should, when we hear the word church, we shouldn't think this necessarily. And this is the trap we fall into, isn't it? I remember back home in Reading, one of the elders there one day, who was a bit random, but he dragged us all outside. Were you there for this, guys? When Mike Parting took us all outside into the car park of the church. And it was like 150 people stood in the car park just to make this one point, which he could have done from inside. But we were all out there, and he just said to everyone, and it was this point, really. He said, "You see that? That's the church building." And then he pointed to this huge group of people, and he said, "You, that's the church, that's our building." And everyone was like, "Yeah, we know. Can we go back in now?" But it's true, isn't it? We think church, and sadly, this is what I was saying on Thursday, I think if you could see in people's mind, if there was like a little screen above their heads and you walked around and you said to many Christians, "Church," and then what would flash onto their screen is a stage and a PA and a really deep V-neck t-shirt and a great-looking guy and a great-looking band. And sadly, that's what would flash up. Or a really brilliant preacher who's really cool. And, you know, something like that would flash up. And you think, yeah, pretty much that and that, that's it. I think that's what it looks like. But you see here, I just, obviously, these guys, they didn't even have PA. How can they call themselves anything? They didn't have PA. They didn't have deep Vs. And but these guys, they were in their homes. And I'd love for when we think of church, for us to be thinking of homes and sitting around tables together, be that in Connect Group or when we invite other people round. And it's a great thing as well if you're a group of friends or whatever your gathering is, to be able to bring into that, should we break bread together? Who would like to do it? Should we pray? Let's just have a few minutes and we can do that. I think it's so beautiful, and it's all part of how we reimagine these things. And they were breaking bread in their homes, and they received their food with glad and generous hearts. I love that that's mentioned, because it just shows you again such a window into the simplicity and the guilelessness, if you like, of what was going on in them. There was no criticism here. They were just glad that they could be together and that they had food on the table. It's so good, isn't it? I think of all the things I'm grateful for, and this is why we sit down as a family and we hold hands and we say thank you for food all the time, because it's not just saying grace because that's what Christians do. It's really trying to maintain the heart of this, that we are blessed in so many ways, but to be able to just sit down and say thank you, Jesus, for providing another lunchtime meal or providing dinner again. It's so beautiful that you've got this heart of devotion to Jesus, devotion to his word, devotion to one another, and then this just thankfulness for just being able to eat and being able to go to your house or being able to even know you. It's so beautiful. And then you contrast it again to so much of what we see. I think we've lost our way. And may the Lord bring this heart back, and that with they were glad, their hearts were generous, they were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord, he added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And again, Matt and I have talked about this at work recently, but so much of when we ask for the Lord to sort of move afresh or pour out, this is what happens, is people come to know Jesus. It's not about the worship getting better or preaching getting better. When the Lord pours out, what happens is here, day by day, people came to know Jesus. And again, this is where we need to refocus on what is the church about? How are we reimagining things? I don't care if we're not cool. I don't care if we're not this or this. If people are coming to know Jesus, and those of us who are here are growing in love for one another, and we're serving one another, and we're serving the Lord, and we are just grateful to be here. I think this is Kerry tells this story, an old bricklayer, I think, potentially. Someone said something to him, and he said, "At my age, you're just grateful to be anywhere." And it's just that sense, though, isn't it, of we're together, And what we want is the Lord to pour out. And that doesn't mean this, it means that he's going to bring people and they're going to come and find Jesus. And that doesn't have to look cool or slick or organized. I really want the Lord to open our eyes in a fresh way. And I'm not saying this from a point of view, by the way, of, oh, I've got it, I see it. I'm sort of feeling like we're all together in terms of, Lord, reshape me. Let me reimagine what all this looks like and give me a fresh vision for it, a fresh beauty, really, of your word and your church and how it can look on this earth. Let me read this to us from Ephesians. We obviously read this week in Connect Groups, Ephesians, and I don't know if anyone watched the video, but we watched the first video with Paul Blackham and Johnny, I've forgotten her surname. If Tony was here, he'd remember. But it was brilliant. And let me just read the end of it. It's Paul in one of his ones where you imagine by the end of when he's finished writing this, it's completely illegible because he's just clearly just sort of going, yes, it's all just flowing out of him. And he says this, I'll read from 15 to 23, Ephesians 1. He says, for this reason, and again, we're thinking church here, think the body of Christ, and then let Paul just paint us a picture. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what it is, the hope, may you know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. An incredible portion of scripture, isn't it? And they were talking, Paul Blackham made this point, to live in Ephesus at this time would have been tremendously intimidating. And then he lists why, and they're all the same reasons really why it's intimidating to be a believer now. Because they were essentially living in this world where, who was the god, the female Artemis? She was this woman of great power. And again, we haven't got time, but you go into it. Everyone looks at us and just thinks, no, you've got nothing. It's this, the god of secularism or whatever it is. But Artemis was this picture of all that was powerful and, you know, sex and drugs and rock and roll and all the rest of it. And then there was this little church. And Paul Blackham made this point, which is brilliant, which is what Paul's doing here with this barrage of just splendor of words and adjectives and all that Christ did in his church, is he's saying, everyone where you live thinks that this woman is the most powerful woman in the universe. And Paul Blackham makes this point that what he's doing here, what Paul is saying to these Ephesians as he strengthens their hand is, no. If he was here, he'd say, nah. No, it's not that. The most powerful, most important, beautiful woman in all of the universe is the church. You guys, this is the most important thing. And talk about power and dominion and rule and every name, not even named here, but in the age, everything is under the name of Jesus. And then he says, so from there, go and be a church. and that's where we are. It's so powerful, so beautiful, so much bigger than what we've limited it too. It's a wonderful thing, and I don't want us to look around, if I can put it like that, as we reimagine things. Let's find out all we need to do is hear Jesus and see him and see in clarity. We needn't look around at other churches or other trends or anything, but I think the Lord is speaking to us, and we needn't feel like we should look around, but all we need to do is be hearing from the Lord. And I mean, again, specifically, Rach highlighted this for us, and it might seem a funny point, but I want us to sort of just embrace it, which is after, I think it was our last family meeting, Rach had this slight epiphany that we'd been going 14 years or so, and she said, this church is unique, really, in Chester, in as much as we don't have staff, we don't have full-time anyone. We don't have a full-time pastor. We are what people call a tent-making church. You know, Matt and I, we work. We have a day for the church each where we, you know, but that's it. We're not, we don't have staff here. But what we've done, and this is our fault, is over these years, essentially, we have tried to conduct ourselves as a church like all the other churches who have lots of resources and full-time staff. And it hasn't worked. It's been like square peg, round hole. And we've thought, why isn't this work? Why is this hard? Why am I tired? Or what's not working? And Rach was the one to highlight it. And I think it's great is we should massively celebrate this fact. All of my church history has been this sort of model. So it's all I'm used to. I've never had staff and full-time people. And so my headspace has always just been, it's me. What do I do? How can I do it? But we should hugely celebrate and own this in a really good way, that if you're part of City, it is different. You can't just really, things don't just happen by the staff midweek. Like, ask Millie. Millie will be here. She's in. Millie is all in. It's like, yeah, I'll do it. And then, again, we're a great bunch. Millie can go around and what can we do? How can we do this? But it's a good thing, isn't it, to identify, actually, yeah, we are different, and that does mean something here. If I'm here, you can't really just attend and watch because it's not like that here. You can at other places, but you can't here, and I'm all up for it. I'm all up for it because, again, going back to what we said at the beginning, this is everyone. This is they and all and together, and that is how it should be. I am hugely running out of time, and I've got more that I wanted to say, so I'm going to try and just cut it out, I think. Let me see what I can axe. I've just got back from the States. I was in Florida for a while. I was right up in the north in Jacksonville, which was fascinating, and then went further south down to Orlando. And what I realized, the last time I was in the States, I was probably about 17, 18, and I wasn't a Christian. And now I've gone back this time as a Christian and older, and what several things really affected me while I was there. But one of the things that I noticed was church in America is a really big deal. And it really struck me as a sort of Brit, Christian Brit, going over there. You think, don't you? Oh, the UK and the US, we're the same. We are not. Let me just make that point. On this level, Christianity here and Christianity in the States, there's a lot to be said. But it is huge. We're talking like you're driving past buildings that look like B&Q warehouses, and it's, you know, such and such Presbyterian church or whatever, and this, and it's everywhere you go, there's Christianity. It's nuts. It really got me. But the other side of that is that in America, and you'd think it's bad here, but over there, it is like the epicenter, the beating heart of consumerism. Wherever you go, every stretch, every step, there is a sign or someone telling you, you need to buy this. You should spend money on this. It is all, it's mad. But it really got me thinking again in terms of where have we gone wrong? The scale of these churches, and it's all really to do with this problem that has really seeped its way in, which is radical individualistic lives, radical individualism, with just a consumer thirst. And that's what's sort of filtered its way into the church, hasn't it? Is people come in, they sit with their, you know, judging eyes, and they consume what's given to them, and then they walk out and they think, well, that was either good or it was bad. But there's a distance, there's a sort of separation between what's being given to them and them that I don't see should be there. It's sort of like clergy and laity or whatever, you know, as we used to have a guy that worked in the police, and you'd have ordinary rank and file, and he said, and that's how you can sort of end up with it. You have the sort of the specials and then ordinary rank and file, and that doesn't exist. There isn't this gap. There isn't clergy and laity. There isn't I come to consume what you're giving me. What we've just read in Acts is this sense of just one thing, one body, all together, all in, all devoted. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? And it's why I was feeling so disillusioned by church and what we've made of it. And I really want the Lord to open our eyes as we move on. I'm going to miss now loads of content and just jump to the end. And I just think, you think of the house churches that would have existed back then. And you see, don't you, Paul sitting to write to the church in this house or the church in this place. And within those places, We see then later on churches that met in this house and this house and this house. House churches, because where else did they go? What else did they do? They had the temple in Jerusalem and all these other things. But as it spread, naturally, they met in houses and they were church in houses. And you think, what did it look like? What were these people like? What were their distinctives? What marked them out? And so much of it was obviously a fresh, just vibrant love for Jesus, who they've just met. It's one of the things that marks me the most when you read about the Hebridean revival. John Tyson, who's Australian pastor living in New York, he went there recently just to speak to people who were there at the time. And this really got me because there was an incredible move of God in the Hebrides, you know, way back in the, whenever it was, 50s, 60s. And there's people there still alive. And he went and spoke to these people. And he made the point that whenever he spoke to someone who was there, now quite old, whenever they spoke the name of Jesus or mentioned Jesus, they all teared up. And they all still just had this, oh yeah, it's Jesus. And they were so touched because they love him and they know him. And I think that's what was going on in these churches. These people have just been saved. They've met Jesus. The Holy Spirit is moving in every one of them. And what marks the church is just this love and zeal and passion and the fact that you tear up when you say his name because Jesus has done this for me. Jesus has done this. Jesus has done all these. Look at him. He's the head of the church. Incredible. All these things we've read. And then with that, a devotion to prayer, a devotion to one another, a devotion to reaching the lost with the gospel, and more than anything else, just this expectant faith that what they were doing as they prayed, as they waited for the Lord, as they broke bread in their houses, they didn't look great. They didn't look cool. But they managed to turn the world upside down and spread the gospel all over the world by being together, loving Jesus, and praying in faith and expectancy that he's going to do these things, he's going to move. And that, to me, is really what we're all about. We read in Lamentations 3, don't we, 22 to 23, that his mercies, is one of my favourite scriptures, his mercies are new every morning. It's a really strange point to make this, but God is fresh. He doesn't go stale. God is new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. And God is fresh this morning for us. And he's here this morning. He's already here. We needn't now go off into groups and jump around and dance and shout and try and call God down. He's here. The Holy Spirit is poured out, living in us. He's here with us. He is fresh. And it's for us to go and now and pray. And to look to him expectantly in faith, in freshness, and say, Lord, I believe you. I really do. Let's pray for Chester. Let's pray for Jan, that things would happen here. Let's pray for things internationally that are going on, and Jeff, and for us, you know, you can pray for, this is going on in my family. This is going on. We can pray now. And I think really that's all I want to say. I've missed out. I thought I was going to take about 15 minutes. That was not the case. And there's a lot more I'd have wanted to have said, but I hope it's just given us a fresh hunger again for us. I think the Lord's speaking to us as a church. I think the Lord has things for us as a church to go forward. And I am excited, and I do think it'll be different to what we've known before or how we've seen things before. And that gets me very excited, and I'm grateful to the Lord that he is speaking to us, that he is faithful. And we're now going to break off into our groups. And we're going to speak to him and we're going to ask him about the things that are on our hearts as we hear from our individual little stalls. And we can pray and we can seek him together. So if we want to, if people are able to help, we'll have a table over there, a table over there, a table over there, a table over there. And if you want to go and get a tea and coffee. Oh, yeah. Stop. This is why we need one another. Oh, yeah, and I've completely forgotten to mention about Chris. Hey, you didn't mention either. So, after this,